And I'm very angry at you, I'll be honest. Yep, I expected more from you, you see? And so, it is the ability of him, power, hold on to control. Your children should know, people should know, if people know, they will know this. And then sometimes I may trespass against you and not even realize it. Yes? And so the Bible always sets in place a safety mechanism. If your brother sins against you, what need you do? Go and tell it before. If he refuses, what need you do? Take two or three witnesses. Yes? And if he refuses, again, tell it to the door church. And so that's our safety mechanism. And so, because guess what? I can't see myself. I might be angry, and you might think, I might be angry and not think I'm angry or have acted. So you have responsibility. You see, because we bring balance to one another, and that's why, even among eldership, why two or three witnesses? That every word may be established. I may say it the wrong way. Can you come with me? You see, because I know myself. I'm being honest now. I might say the wrong thing. I might act the wrong way. Can you come with me? You see? So when I go, so what for? And so what happens is it brings balance. You see? So whenever there is a situation, I won't call it a problem because it's an opportunity for growth. Whenever there's a situation, we can look in scripture to find out how should I handle this situation. Does that make sense? What's our problem? What's our problem? We don't know how to endure temptation. Anybody? How many of us are tempted? All of us. Huh? Isn't that right? As long as you live, there's going to be temptation. That's just a fact of life. You remember that sermon that Sunday that Brother preached? He talked about temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because the devil, what's the devil doing? Walking about, growing by seeking whom he may. Huh? So if the devil can get to you, who's he going to work with? The person closest to you. Huh? So I can't get to the husband, I'm going to have to start working on the wife. I can't get to the wife, I'm going to work on the husband. One of the kids, the neighbor, your co-worker, you think you're bigger, better, and strong? Let me see how meek you are. Now, meekness does not mean weakness. Huh? Does not mean that you're weak. Because God doesn't want you to be a doorman. You know, but well, I'm a Christian, so I'm not supposed to complain. Listen, you stepped on my toe, bro. I would appreciate it if you don't do it again. Is that okay? Because I might not be aware I stepped in your tomb. And so, a lot of times in Christianity, we tell people what we can do instead of telling people what we can't. Does that make sense? It's all a lot of do's and don'ts. You can do this, you can't. Well, what can I do? Well, you can tell the person. And you tell them, love, if you love me, you're going to tell me what? Because remember what you said last week? Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Huh? Does this look okay on me? Well, brother, I wouldn't really, whatever. Hurt my feelings. Yes? Then he said in 16 to 22, they were greedy for gain. And then Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What did we say righteousness last week? What does righteousness mean? Right standing.
Before God.
Doing right in whose eyes? In God's eyes. In what? In words, thoughts, and your actions. Anybody struggling in any of those areas? Well, I thought of it. Every day, you know, your second guess is up. Okay, before I say this, before I do this, before I think this, let me run this through this biblical filter. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What is Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, good and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You know what renovate means? What does renovate mean? When I said, I'm going to renovate my house. You're going to do what? Do what? Do what? I'm going to take something older and I'm going to replace it with something new. So renovation is not demolition. So I'm going to take something older and replace it with something new. So what's the old? The old thoughts, the old actions, the old attitudes. And what you do? And I will replace it with God's word. Huh? The way you used to talk before, you ought to talk a little bit different. The way you dressed before, the way you acted before, your attitude before, take that old tape out and replace it with a new track. Huh? So here, you're studying God's word, you're learning something new, and you say to yourself, well, that's not how I used to think. What's your job? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I can't think that way anymore. I can't act that way anymore. I can't talk like that anymore. I can't hang out with those friends like that anymore. Because I want to do what's right in God's eyes, in my words, thoughts, and my actions. And the other scripture for that is like gave you Romans 12, 1 and 2, Colossians 3, and 17, you can write that down and study it out as well. And so today, verses 23 and 24, Matthew 23 and 24, please. It says what? Can someone read verses 23 and 24?
He said the Sadducees, what do you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? But you pay tithe of milk and onions and cooking, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law.
Yeah.
Justice and mercy and faith.
Yeah.
And this you ought to have done without leaving the others undone.
Okay, and then the Beatitude is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew 5 and 7 says what?
Blessed
are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Okay, so these men, they were rejecting mercy. Rejecting mercy. Yes? So the Pharisees made it in the morning. They had rules for every minute area of life, while at the same time they forgot about the important things. Yeah? It is usually the case that legalists are sticklers for details but blind to great principles. The crowd thought nothing of condemning an innocent man, yet they were afraid to enter the judgment unless they be defiled. And so, we must be careful as in any religion that sets up a little of the rules and regulations. Yeah? In the Catholic Church, anybody know anything about Catholicism? Catholicism? All the Catholics. All the Catholics around. Yeah? A lot of rules. Yeah? You got Lent season, you can't eat certain food. What can't you eat during Lent? Anybody know during Lent?
Blood.
No meat.
Blood.
No meat. Huh? You remember I talked about why here in the UK do they eat fish on Fridays? It's fish and chips on Fridays, traditionally, in the UK. Lent, and during Lent, you have to give up something.
Yeah.
It's usually for about a month. You give up. And then they have Easter, which is not Here were the Pharisees. They were so focused on the minute things that they neglected the weightier matters. Jesus says again in verse number 23 and 24, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice. What is justice? What is justice? What's that? Justice, you heard the Justice Department? Yeah. That's the legal matters. Justice of the peace, judges, and mercy. What's mercy? What is the definition of mercy? Mercy is what? Not getting what you deserve. You deserve what? What did you deserve? You deserve death, but you got what? Mercy. You're guilty, but the judge says, I'm going to let you go. What is that? That's mercy. Now, when someone offends you, what do you want? When someone offends you, what do you want? You want justice. Huh? You want justice. We'll call the cops. We're going to fix this. We're going to settle this right now. But when you offend somebody, what do you want? Why you don't want justice? You can't afford it. So you want somebody offends you, you want justice. But you offend them and you want what? You want mercy. You say, I want mercy. Well, I didn't mean it. I can explain. They knew I didn't mean it. Huh? So why you don't want justice? Why you don't want justice? Because you want to explain yourself. You know what? So why doesn't go both ways? Do you have a goal today? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So what you want for yourself, you should want for everybody. Huh? The folk that you like and the folk that you don't like. You see that business over in Israel and Palestine? What's going on over there? The Palestinians came over to Israel, kidnapped and killed folk. And the Israelis do? What they doing? They have bombed Palestine down to nothing. And still doing it. Now, during World War II, it was a World War II, when Hitler was rounding up all the Jews, and they called that the Holocaust, and they say, oh, you know, woe is us, you know, we've been exterminated. But what do the Jews do now? The exterminated have become the exterminators. Huh? They wanted justice. They wanted justice. Want justice, they said. You interested? Yeah.
I was having this conversation with David Johnson,
right? Yes.
And I also look at our everyday life.
Yes.
Why is it difficult to forgive?
Oh, I love it. That's a good book. Tell me. Because, guess what? Because when we offend people, we feel we have an argument. I can explain. We want to explain ourselves when we offend someone. But when someone offends us, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. Isn't that right? We just want to get this over with because I'm gonna get you back. I'm gonna get that girl back. Come tell me she come stealing my stuff, I'm gonna get her back. I'm gonna fix it. Huh? Blessed are the merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. Huh? You get caught speeding coming to church. Cop pulls you over. Because you got to get caught tomorrow. What's the first thing you're thinking? I'm getting ready to go caught tomorrow. What you thinking? I'm working on it. I'm working on an excuse now. Because I want to do what? I want to get out of trouble. Never right? Isn't that right? No, is it just me? Well, Judge, I can explain. He said, I want you to explain. We'll send you over to Her Majesty's or His Majesty's prison for 6 months. How do you feel? You want forgiveness, don't you? Yeah. So why is it you have a problem forgiving other people?
I don't have a problem.
You don't have a problem, all right? Seeking the will of others above all, not being, because remember all this stuff goes together, because we're selfish. And we're selfish. The minute you enter the world, you're selfish. Pick me up, look at me, feed me, entertain me. You want to be the first in line. When you get to the store, you don't want to be inconvenienced. When you call me at the bank, you want me to answer the first ring. And we don't like to hear that word. What's the word we don't like to hear? Anu. You don't want to hear it. Isn't that right? Huh? Sir, can I have XYZ? They say, I'd like for you to waive that late payment fee, sir. And I say, we can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because you gave me that fee to be refunded last month and you told me the same story. You said, I can explain. I said, well, I'm gonna give you mercy. Huh? God shows you mercy so that you can do what? God shows you mercy so you can do what? Show blessed are the merciful, for they. So if I don't show mercy to other people, guess what's not going to happen to me? Is that what the scripture says? But we get amnesia sometimes, don't we? Did Josh let you go last week, and guess what we do? We forget. You remember that parable we read, Brother George, in Matthew, when that man owed some money, and he pleaded to the master to let him go, and what did he do? He went out, and his somebody owed him less than he owed, and what did he do? Grabbed him by the neck, and told him, pay me. And when the master found out, what did he do? He told him, you wicked sir. Huh? What was the problem? He forgot. What is mercy? Love in... See, you can't love a person. I cannot tell you I love you if I've not done something for you. Romans 5:8 says what? Romans 5:8. That's why. You know that verse. Romans 5:8. And it begins with what? Romans 5:8. That's why. But God, they did what? There's a word. What's the word? The third word. But God.
Demonstrate.
What is it? Demonstrate love. Huh? If I tell you I've got a present for you and I don't give it to you, if I tell you I've got a gift for you and I don't give it to you, guess what? It's not a gift. Isn't that right? I've got something good for you, but I never give it to you. But God demonstrated his what? Love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners. So when did God show us love? When we were sinners, we were taught we didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway. So that person that trespasses us, they don't deserve it, but guess what we should do? Give it to them anyway. That's that. That's a tough assignment right there. It's easy to love those who love us, isn't that right? Don't require much. It's easy to show mercy to people who show us mercy.
What about the folks that don't show us mercy? Cuss you up, slam the door in your face, call you all sorts of names, stab you in the front, stab you in the back, stab you in the side, and do it a second time. And so, this is real. This is real. So justice, mercy, and faithfulness are the important qualities God is seeking. Obeying the rules is no substitute. While it is good to pay attention to details, we must never lose our sense of priorities in spiritual matters. Jesus did not condemn the practice of tithing, but he did condemn those who allowed their legalistic scruples to keep them from developing true Christian character. This is character. I guarantee you, here's what I guarantee. I guarantee that the homework that you have in primary school is easier than the homework you'll have in university. You know why? Because there's a greater expectation. There's a greater expectation. So you've left the world, you've become a Christian, and as you mature, guess what? The homework gets tougher. But grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we to grow without some challenges? Why am I going through this? Well, maybe God's trying to test me. Satan will tempt you. Yeah? What type of love is Jesus talking about here? What type of mercy? This is unconditional. Unconditional. I don't deserve it. That person doesn't deserve mercy. I don't deserve mercy either, but God enabled me. Yes? And so, Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 to 28. So we'll read that for
us. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, you cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them will be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but inside are full of dead men's blood. Verse 28. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and
honesty. Oh, so he talks about they are defiled in heart. Which heart? Is this heart that Jesus is talking about? Is this the heart Jesus is talking about? Okay. The Beatitude is Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, Jesus used two illustrations, the cup and the platter, and the sepulchre or tomb. Yeah? They both stated the same truth. It is possible to be clean on the outside and at the same time defiled on the inside. Most people spend a whole lot of time focused on their outward appearance. Looking nice, smelling nice, you know, here, just so. What about the inside? What is Jesus interested in? On the inside, because Jesus wants to transform us. He wants to change us from the inside out, because what's on the inside comes out on outside. And so, when you and I woke up this morning, we were focused on the outside, looking all in the mirror, making sure everything is just so. Jesus said, I'm not interested in that.
imagine using dishes that were dirty. Would you eat off of dirty dishes? Huh? Why not? It's not what? Not hygiene. I'll be dirty on the outside. I'll be dirty on the outside. Huh? Whatever you put into the dish or the cup will also become defiled. So you want to eat off of dirty dishes, but you're putting dirt in the dishes. Isn't it interesting? Whatever you put in that cup or dish will become defiled. The Pharisees were careful to keep the outside very clean because that was the part that man would see. I can't see on the inside of you. You can't see on the inside of me. But guess what? The way we conduct ourselves shows us what's on the inside. Isn't it interesting? And they wanted, the Pharisees wanted the praise of men. And so, look what he says again in verse number 25. In verse number 25, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and the word self-indulgence." Yeah. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse what? First cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside may be clean also. That's why that scripture be read or quoted in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's on the inside. When the inside changes, the outside will change. Yeah? And so our conversation, I have learned over the years to listen to people. Listen very carefully to people. When you're having just casual conversation, listen to what they're saying and also listen to what they're not saying. Huh? Let me give an example because you're looking like you're interested. When people come, now I understand all of us, we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, when you talk to people, I talk to my customers on a day-to-day basis, say, "Sir, you know, this is what the situation was, I forgot, something was going on, blah, 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 blah." And then they'll say, "Well, I knew that I should have paid that bill on time." Now, that person, that type of person, I can work with. But you got the folk that talk and they condemn, they say, "Oh, the bank is making all this money, you people are ripping people off, and blah, blah, blah." And well, they've not taken responsibility. They've not taken responsibility to say, "Listen, we didn't force you to use that credit card. We didn't force you to use that credit card. And we don't know what your circumstances were. We're not calling you up and say, 'Can't you pay this month?' We don't know. You see? And we understand that life happens." And as they're talking, what's on the inside, guess what? Comes out on the outside. Don't condemn me. I'm trying to help you. I'm here. It's called customer service. I'm trying to help you as much as I can. But you gotta work with me. You see? So, first, clean the inside with a cup or dish so that the outside clean also. What did we come here today for? To clean the inside. Hopefully. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. But Jesus has it all together. And is asking us, let's work on the inside this week. So he says in verse number 27, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, in Bermuda where I'm from, most of the graves, the top of the grave is above ground and we paint it white. Like the top of our roofs, that's tradition. Yeah? So when a coffin is put in there, they have to break the seal. It's a cement seal. Break that seal, lower the coffin into there, and then they seal it back up and paint that bad boy over. Now it looks good on the outside, but what's on the inside? Death is on the inside. Anybody alive in there? Yeah. So he says, outwardly, you're looking good. You're looking good outwardly. But what's the problem, Jesus? Well, Jesus says, but inwardly are full of dead man's bones, and how much uncleanliness? All uncleanliness. Jesus sees the real you. Jesus sees the real you. Look at, very quickly, someone read 1 Samuel 16, 2. Sorry, 1 Samuel 16, 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. And we'll wrap it up.
Well, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.
God was looking for a king. He said, well, you don't want him. Yeah. Sent Samuel to anoint David as king. And he said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. When you go to the grocery store, you're looking for fruits and vegetables. What you're looking for? You're looking for the good stuff. We don't want any bruised bananas. We want the best strawberries, peaches, oranges, lemons, mangoes, whatever. But the Lord said, don't look at the outward appearance. And you know what? The minute you meet a person, for the first time, the first thing you do in your mind, you cast a judgment against that person. Whether you realize, no, I don't like her, I don't like him. But you don't even know that person. You see? He says, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the what? The outward things. But the Lord looks at what? At the heart. What's on the inside comes out on the outside. It's not the outward that defiles a man. You know, they were condemning Jesus' disciples because they didn't wash their hands before they ate the grain. He said, don't worry about all that. Don't worry about all that. We sing songs like, what can wash away my sins? I know it was the blood. How do we clean up on the inside? How do we clean the inside of ourselves? Fill by the word of God. But not just filling it up. Guess what you gotta do? You've gotta allow it to transform you. Because a lot of people got a lot of scripture in there. Satan knows the Bible, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Even the demons believe, the Bible says in training. So knowledge, belief in and of itself is not enough. You have got to activate. You've got to apply it. You've got to apply it. Listen, I don't understand this scripture. I like when folks ask me questions. Because you know what that causes me to do? It causes me to think too. Now, you come and say, Brother Smith, can you explain? I said, well, that's a good question. Let me go to the bottom and then go in and check that out. Because I don't need to. But you'll learn how to watch, folk. Now, if you're watching me, I'm watching you too. Why? Because I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Yes? God sees the heart. And then we will judge. We're judged not only by our actions, but also our thoughts as well. Isn't that interesting? On judgment day, God will reveal everything. There's nothing hidden. You think you're hiding, you think nobody else knows, God knows. The way we conduct ourselves, the way we talk, the way we live our lives, will be judged.
Any questions? Okay. There'll be an exam next week. And if you don't pass the exam, what happens? You can't get to heaven. That's a joke.